This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas, presented by U-Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Today on the show, we have Walter D'Oda, CEO of Singapore Life, an insurance company in Singapore. Walter, welcome to the show.
Good morning, it's great to be here.
So let's start with Singapore Life. Please tell us, what exactly is the next generation of life insurance in which Singapore Life describes itself as?
Well, as we all know, life insurance is a not very exciting topic. We know that life insurance companies have traditionally been quite inefficient and old and not so progressive. In fact, life insurance is one of those industries that has not kept pace with the technological advancement of today's financial services sector. So we decided that the world needs a better kind of life insurance company. And so what we did is we set out to build a life insurance company that can take all of the benefits of technology and turn them into better value for our customers. And using this new technology creates the next generation of life insurance company.
Walter, you founded this company last year. Tell us, how did this Singapore Life story come about? How was this idea conceptualized?
Well, the idea was conceptualized much earlier on when I was the chief executive of HSBC's insurance businesses in Singapore. And having been in the industry for such a long time and having seen how the industry works and what kind of benefits customers were really, really looking for, we thought that there has to be a better way. So it took quite a long time, as you can imagine. Life insurance is not an easy business to start. But what we did is we set ourselves on that mission to empower customers using technology-driven solutions to give themselves a better financial future through a different kind of life insurance company. And that's what we've been able to create.
Yeah, it's not an easy business to start, as you mentioned, Walter. It's also in a very regulated industry. Singapore Life is the latest fully licensed direct life insurer to be approved by the Monetary Authority of Singapore. So you are the first local insurer with no foreign partners to be licensed there since 1970. So how did you manage to land the license in such a regulated industry?
That's absolutely right. Singapore has a reputation for being one of the most well-respected, well-regarded regulatory environments in Asia. Many of our neighboring countries, including Malaysia, take a lot of reference to the Singapore regulations in setting their own standards. So the bar that is set in Singapore is incredibly high. But that said, the Singapore regulatory environment is also very open to new ideas and new ways of doing things, provided that it's done properly and provided that customers are getting a good value and protection out of this. So we worked very closely with the regulator in Singapore on defining a business model that they would agree and accept. We worked with them on enhancing our sales journeys, our ability to accept business, how we identify our customers and make sure that they are who they say they are if they're buying online, and work with the regulator to make sure that we can adhere to the strong governance that Singapore represents. Of course, as a life insurance company, you need a lot of capital, and we were able to raise much more capital than what we originally needed, which gives a lot of certainty to both the regulator and to our customers about the sustainability of our business and the value that we can bring to customers.
Yeah, speaking about capital, Singapore Life, you raised about US $50 million. This was in your Series A funding round, and your backers include Chong Sing Holdings FinTech and IPGL. Are you looking to raise any more funding?
We have, between our shareholders, significantly deep pockets of capital. I think between our existing shareholders, there's more than $6 billion in market cap, and we will be able to draw on that capital as we need it. Life insurance is one of those businesses which constantly needs capital as we grow, mm-hmm. and we have all the capital that we need to continue to apply capital to the Singapore Life business as we continue to grow. So yes, we will always be adding more capital to the business, but that's part of how life insurance companies grow from one year to the next.
Would you consider listing the company?
Absolutely. Our ambition is to create a new way of doing life insurance, and that's for the benefit of people. Having a listed entity is a great way to demonstrate our presence in the market and the benefit of not only the insurance entity but also the impact on our economy as a whole by contributing to the financial services sector through such a listing. We think about these kinds of things quite a lot for the 4 to 5 to 10 year futures.
Mm-hmm. You're looking at a 4 to 5 year time frame for the listing?
We'll have to see how things grow. Obviously, the listings are contingent on how fast the business grows,
mm-hmm.
And how much capital we need at which point in the business's development. But it is in our strategy to think in that direction.
Yeah, right now, looking at your current premiums, since you've started business last year, what is your current business earnings looking like?
We are thrilled with our progress so far. It's actually been fantastic. In fact, right now, Singapore Life is the largest writer of direct life insurance in the whole of Singapore, and that's only based on one quarter of time of writing term life insurance in Singapore. We're thrilled with our progress. Not only that, but we had the opportunity to acquire the Zurich Life business in Singapore
mm-hmm.
Late last year, and we fully incorporated that business into our Singapore Life business with effect from 1st of April. And that brings on board $6.2 billion in coverage for old Zurich Life customers. The great thing about that means that with that extra step that we've taken, we are confident that our business will reach profitability in its first full financial year of operations, which is something that's unheard of in our sector or our industry.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like you're on track to make profits. You're saying within
Absolutely.
A year since, yeah, so you're looking at a profit number this year. That's what you're saying?
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
And coming back to the Zurich Life, the business that you bought for $6 billion US dollars of policies that came into the books, how much was that deal done?
Well, we can't unfortunately disclose the commercials of that.
Mm-hmm.
But what is important is that these Zurich Life customers have now got a safe home. They've got a safe place that they can continue their insurance with, and in fact, their experience of life insurance is way better than what they had ever had previously. We now give all of these customers online access to their policies, access to anytime, anywhere, see how and what and what they need to do in their insurance world. So our promise to them is to give them an easier experience of life insurance compared to what they had previously. And that's working so far. So far, we found that the number of customers that have dropped off or who have moved away is negligible compared to where they were in their previous environment. So people are loving being Singapore Life customers.
Are you looking at any more acquisitions?
Absolutely. We are here to grow. We have significant capital at our disposal and can continue to raise capital for possibilities that may arise in the future. We have a very, very long-term ambition around growth. Singapore being our home and our starting point would be our headquarter, but there is no reason at all why we wouldn't consider growth above and beyond our starting point.
So where to next? What's on your radar?
We're looking all over. The great thing about Singapore Life is that our technology is so awesome that we can really just expand our capabilities efficiently to new markets quite efficiently. That means that if it was time for us to either come into new markets as a new startup kind of company, or if we come in through acquisition of portfolios, both of these things are possible within our technology framework, and we can execute these things quite well. So we're looking at a number of different opportunities around the region to see what's next for us as we grow.
Yeah, but the insurance industry is very regulated. So you would need approval, right, from the regulators in the different countries before you enter into them?
Of course, of course.
And you're in talks for that already?
In some places, yes, we have had some discussions about what the future holds. But, you know, we would operate within the environments in each of our markets together with the regulatory requirements that would be necessary in each market. As we've done in Singapore, we will do the same in other markets should the right opportunities present themselves.
Is Malaysia in there anywhere in your radar?
Malaysia is our closest neighbor. We certainly believe that there is an opportunity. If there was an opportunity for us to participate in the Malaysian market, I think we would seriously consider to do so.
Okay, I'm speaking to Walter Deoda, CEO of Singapore Life. After this, we'll talk more about the future of insurance and the business model of Singapore Life. Stay tuned to The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill and we're talking to Walter Deoda, CEO of Singapore Life. Walter, earlier we were talking about Singapore Life and it's how it came about. Now, can you give us some insights into the business model that Singapore Life is operating in?
Sure, Joyce. We have a great opportunity in Singapore to take the technology that we've built and use that to create good value for our customers. When we launched the business, we focused on two key areas. The first area where we focused was in the high net worth space, looking at private banked business, for people that are looking to leveraged legacy solutions for their estates. The second area where we've been focusing on is on term life insurance, which is a very simple, easy life insurance product. Everybody needs life insurance, and everybody needs a savings plan. Singapore Life makes it really, really easy. What we've done to start is to say, let's construct an efficient term life cover in a very simple way, which gives people the protection that they need without the hassle of going through the traditionally old-fashioned way of buying life insurance, either through agents or advisors or having to go for deep medicals. We've taken the process and made it really, really easy for you to get your life insurance.
Checked out your website, and I noticed that the premiums are for some of them, compared to the rest of the insurers in Singapore, it's noticeably lower. Is that the case because you have less people, like less agents under your fold?
We use technology, and the fact that we can do things efficiently means that we can turn things into better value. And that's just a matter of being a bit more on the cutting edge of our industry. We don't use agents. We do use independent financial advisors, and we are quite happily using independent financial advisors because we know that we compare very favorably to our competitors in the from a pricing and quality perspective, and our independent financial advisors are quite good at selling our products. We don't differentiate in price between whether you come to us and buy it directly online or if you use a financial advisor. We believe that customers should be able to access their life insurance in the way that they are most comfortable in doing so and not be differentiated based on the kinds of advice that they get or choose to take. It's right. A very, very simple and clean business model.
Right. So given the business model that Singapore Life has, are you saying that the agency model is no longer relevant for insurers?
I think it will always be relevant, but I don't think it's the same for everybody. Some people prefer an agent who represents just one company. Some people prefer to talk to a financial advisor who represents multiple companies in the products and offerings that they offer. And some people, and more people, are looking to trust their own research and to test their own their own advice or analysis against what they can compare very easily now on the internet and take the actions that they think best suits them. Mm. So we are definitely seeing a trend that more and more people are taking their own advice into their own hands and making decisions for themselves and buying what they believe they need rather what they think that other people think they need.
Well, some insurers believe that the agent-client relationship is important to the whole insurance process. So how do you fill the relationship vacuum left behind by the absence of human interaction?
All industries evolve. 10 years ago, everybody said you needed to have a travel agent before you bought your plane tickets. And that was, you know, and we all thought that at that time. It was made logical sense to pop down to the travel agent and compare the prices of what was there and they could actually execute. But now, when you want to fly, you just buy your ticket and fly. Now, with car insurance, nowadays, when you buy your car insurance, most people are no longer really using agents and advisors because car insurance tends to be very comparable and transactable online, and we're seeing massively more and more digitization of that industry. And the expectation for us is that life insurance will follow the same path. Pure life insurance, like term insurance, is really, really not very complicated at all. In fact, it's much less complicated than car insurance. Car insurance, you'd have a no-claim discount and you'd have a windscreen damage and can you drive your car in multiple countries and is it a third-party cover and is it a named driver and is it approved workshops and what's the make and model of your car? And there's quite a lot of stuff to think about. But yet, we're all quite comfortable to buy it online. For life insurance, it's actually much simpler. You pay some premium. If you pass away, your family benefits with a lump sum. If you don't pass away, well, great news, you're still alive. So it's really a simple, neat and easy product. And going forward, I think more and more people are going to take that financial decision and make that decision for themselves.
Well, Walter, the big boys are not sitting back. I mean, they are getting into the game by partnering up with accelerators, insurtech companies, and some of them are also using technology to keep premiums low. Like, for example, AIA Vitality clients track their lifestyle using wearable technology, and from that, it could translate into a lower premium for them. So in the midst of all of this, how do you set yourself apart from the growing competition? Because the big boys are coming after you guys.
Well, we don't see ourselves as eating anybody's lunch here. Our job is to make the market bigger. In the old days where people didn't really have access to digital or faster-moving life insurance companies like us, our job is to just give more access to more people life insurance. We believe that we are able to move incredibly quickly in the market. My view is there's a great saying. It says, you know, it's no longer big fish that eat small fish. It's fast fish that eat slow fish. Mm. And Singapore Life is able to swim very, very fast at the moment. We built things like wearable technology into our solutions from day one. Singapore Life customers who connect their fitness devices benefit on their premiums based on how relatively well they do in terms of their activity. These are just part and parcel of the way the industry is moving. Our view is that there is more than enough room at the table. Some people will always prefer to partner with bigger, more established life insurance companies, and some people would prefer to deal with companies that are new age and next generation and trying new things. And we are here to offer people that alternative.
Well, Walter, earlier you said it's about the fastest fish, right? So technology is always evolving and one will always have to keep up, especially when you are in the digital game like yourself, Singapore Life. So how much investments is the company looking to invest into technology and how much have you already invested thus far?
Like all insurtech companies, technology is the core of what we do. And it's amazing how much you can achieve executing on these things in an efficient way. I remember in my old organizations or previous organizations that I'd worked with where we spoke about digital budgets of hundreds of millions of dollars. And my experience of that was that it was actually very difficult to execute these digital strategies by putting in hundreds of millions of dollars. You're actually much better off by putting in very small amounts of money and building things quickly. In the world of technology these days, it's no longer big budgets that rock the world. It's about effective use of good capital to build things smart and quickly. When we talk about InsurTech, we talk about small componentry, agile advancement, agile development, new processes, and constant improvement. And that requires a constant investment in the technology. But if you do this in a smart way, you can do this incredibly efficiently. And that's what we've been doing.
Is there a figure to it you can share?
Not yet.
Well, could you share with us how much life insurance coverage has been issued since the launch?
Sure. There are a couple of benchmarks. So for startups, the biggest benchmark that we know in the world is Ladder Life. It was based in California as a life insurance provider. And they had some public statements to show that in their first 100 days of operations, they provided $100 million of life insurance cover to their customers. We did a check and said, on our first 100 days of operations, how much cover will we be able to provide? And the answer was $250 million in life insurance cover based on our own efforts. Add to that the $6 billion of additional cover that we've been able to provide to the Zurich customers that we've brought into our stable gives us a very big canvas from which to build.
Yeah, and what about security and data privacy? What measures have you put in place for your clients there?
We hold these things to the highest standard. Singapore, from a regulatory perspective, is a zero-tolerance environment for these kinds of things. We are secure in the extreme, and as you can imagine, with the highest levels of audit and regulatory governance to make sure that we keep the data to the standards required. But not only is people's data safe because of the technology that we provide, in Singapore, policyholders are protected by the policy owner's protection scheme as well, which means that come what may, there is a safety net for our customers, which is provided by the regulations.
So just in short, what is the future of insurance, in your opinion?
I think the future of insurance is different from what many people think. I think if you look at the future of banking or the future of investments, these things are changing quite a lot. And these changes are going to happen in the insurance space as well. In banking, we see less banks and more digital. In insurance, we're also going to see the same phenomenon, less banks or less agents and more digital. But not only are we going to see different ways to access your bank or your insurance company, we're also going to see that the products and services that insurance companies offer is also going to change. I think some of the lines between insurance, savings, investments, transactional banking, all of these things are going to become a lot more blurred in the future than what they are today. And we're counting on those kinds of changes to take place.
I've been speaking to Walter Deoda, CEO of Singapore Life. Walter, thank you for being on The Breakfast Grill today. It was a pleasure having you. I'm Joyce Goh for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile. Your passion drives our unlimited ideas.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.